When he moves among us, all that he does, all of his mercy, all of his love, if the pen of a writer could write every day, even this world could never contain. Changing of leaves, food on my table, and a good place to sleep, clothes on my back, and shoes on my feet. I have been blessed. I have been blessed, God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so
can talk, hands that can touch, legs that can walk, ears that can listen, eyes that can see. I've got to praise him as long as I breathe. I have been blessed. Mother and father, sisters and brothers, memories made. Our pastor to lead us, altar to pray. Stripes that can heal, the blood that still saves. I have been blessed. I have been blessed, God so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so the greatest on earth, where the flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in a harbor as liberty calls. All have given some, but some gave it all, so we could be blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where he leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where he hides me under his wings. He's not just a song, he's the reason I sing. I have been blessed. I have been blessed, God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, Gonzalez family. And enjoyed the special. Brother Nikolai enjoyed the presentation, and look forward to seeing them down the road somewhere and hearing God's blessings on what's going to be happening in Russia. Take your Bible, if you would, quickly with me tonight, and we're going to turn to two passages of Scripture. Just going to make some observations, if I could, quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Timothy 3. While you're turning there, let me just go ahead and let you know where we're going to jump right into one verse in 1 Samuel chapter 2. As you know, Samuel now has been given by Elkanah and Hannah to the Lord, and Eli to take care of him, watch over him. And Hannah begins to pray a prayer of dedication. And we're not going to read all the prayer, but you can read the initial seven verses there. But I want to point out one thing that was that she mentioned in verse number 8, and then we're going to look at 1 Timothy 3. Let's stand together quickly, if you would please. 1 Samuel 2, verse 8. Hannah says, "He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory." Now I want you to notice this. She says, "For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He hath set the world upon them." And then I want you to notice the next statement. "He will keep the feet of His saints." All in context, all in the prayer, she says, under the inspiration of God, "For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He hath set the world upon them." Turn, if you would, to 1 Timothy 3. You'll recognize this, verse 15. Paul says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God," he tells young Timothy, listen now, "which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Now I want to connect these verses, Old Testament and New Testament, where God says in the Old Testament that the pillars of the earth are the Lord, and He set the world on them. And then God tells us in 1 Timothy 3:15 that the church of the living God, it is the pillar and ground of the truth. I want to speak to you just for the few moments that we have. We've heard the little song, "He's got the whole world in His hands." Now, I want to sing that because some of you get out of hand tonight. But we've seen the picture that He's got the whole world in His hands. I want to preach to you for just a moment tonight. According to these verses, God says the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He sets the world on the pillars. And the Scripture says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. I want to talk to you tonight and tell you that you have the whole world in your hands. Father, would you bless now tonight as we study just a little bit, learn some things from the Scriptures in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. The pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He hath set the world upon them, is what Hannah prayed. Well, we know that a pillar is something that supports. It sustains. It's that upon which something rests. So God says whatever He was going to take the world and put it on, it was going to be a pillar, something that it would rest upon. And so a pillar is a support. It's something that is placed upon it that it upholds and supports. Well, usually when something is set upon a pillar, it's set there for it to be seen and recognized. Now, many of you have been to weddings, and you've seen pillars that have been set up on the platform, and there have been various things that were set on them. The reason the pillars were set up and the items set on the pillars to draw your attention to them. So that when you look and say, oh, isn't that beautiful? Beautiful pillar, beautiful plant on there. Why? It was part to get your attention. And so the item set upon the pillar is set there by someone at their discretion because they want attention drawn to it. Now, listen, folks. For whatever reason, God says, whatever these pillars are that are the Lord's, He takes the world and sets it on them. Why? Because He wants attention drawn to it. Because that support that He's talking about here is something that sustains. Whatever is set upon that pillar is very important. Listen now to the one who set it there. You see, the pillar is also important because the item set upon it by the person is being depended upon to support that item. Now listen, you wouldn't set something on a pillar that you thought was fixing to fall apart, would you? No, because the item that you set on, it's important to you. You don't set something on something that's going to collapse or fall. You see, the pillar itself is important because it's the support. So I want to say to you tonight, church, that both the pillar and the world are both important to the Lord. And He wants tonight to give attention to both of them. Now, my simple application of the message or the passages tonight are simply this, church. Did you notice over in 1 Samuel chapter 2 that the Lord said the pillars of the earth are the Lord's and He sets a wall upon them? The very next thing is that He would bless, He would strengthen, and He mentioned the saints right after that. So what I'm saying to you simply tonight is, I want to make the application that the pillars represent the saints of God. The world is all mankind and all nations. And the one in charge that sets the world on the pillars is none other than God Himself. That takes the world, because He does have the whole world in His hands, but may I say, He has now placed that in your hands and my hands. He has now placed the whole world, the evangelization of the whole world, in His hands. You see, the Lord is the establisher of the pillars and the placer of the world upon those pillars. Well, you know, the Lord placed the world upon His disciples. Let me show you something here. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 2, if you would. I want to show you something in just a moment. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 9. I said the pillars, I want to make the application, are the saints of God or the church of the living God. Because it's the saints of the God that make up the church of the living God. Look, Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, listen to what Paul says. He said, when James and Cephas and John, listen, who seem to be what? Talk to me now, who seem to be what? Pillars. Who seem to be the support. He said, they seem to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me, and Barnabas, the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So here, once again, God draws attention to supporters. He says that these men seem to be pillars. Hannah prayed, the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He sets the world upon them. I want to say to you tonight, church, that when God set the world on the pillars of the disciples, we find in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 6, the Bible said they turned the world upside down. They literally changed the face of how things were being operated as far as the truth was concerned. They turned the world upside down. We also know in Acts chapter 5 that they were also spoken of by the Pharisees that they had filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. You see, when the Lord left and He ascended back to glory and He gave them the assignment to be witnesses, you know what He said? Now the world is in your hands. You are the pillars of the earth now. You are the pillar and ground of the truth that make up the church. You see, Jesus Christ has established the church as the pillar and ground of the truth on the earth. He's placed the world upon this pillar of the church that it might gain our attention and our examination. Why do you think he said, go ye into all the... Why? Because you're the pillar. You're the one he set the world upon. It's our responsibility, folks, now to reach the world. It's our responsibility as the sustainers, as the supporter, listen, as the church of the living God that he has given the truth to. And he says, here you are, church, there it is, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now I place the world in your hands now. Whether it gets evangelized or not, church, is going to be up to us as believers. God is not going to come back and evangelize the world himself. That's the reason he has you and I. Because when he ascended back to glory, you know who he gave the commission to? He says, now I'm setting the world on the pillars. I'm setting the world now in your hands. Now what I want to do for just a moment tonight, church, for the message, is just make some observations. So I'm saying to you tonight that the world now rests upon the pillar, the church of the living God, which is the pillar, the supporter, the sustainer of truth. You know what the world needs, Brother Nikolai, in Russia? It needs the truth. You know why there's so many atheists? Because there is no truth. Why? Because somewhere along the line, the pillar crumbled. And guess what fell? The world. So here's my first observation tonight. If the pillar falters, the world collapses. If the pillar falters, the world collapses. Because the world is sitting on the pillar. And when God set the world on the pillar, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, let me tell you something, folks. The reason the world's not being evangelized is not because of the lost world. The problem is not because of the heathen. The problem is because when God set the pillar up and he set the world on the pillar, the problem is the pillar is beginning to falter. And what's going to happen is when the pillar falters, the world collapses. You say, what's the pillar faltering on, preacher? First of all, it's faltering on preaching the gospel. Hey, what we're doing now is, unfortunately, across America and across the world, now the idea today is we can't be too tough and say there's only one way to heaven. So we have to preach a social type gospel instead of preaching the truth. When Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know what? God said, that's a truth, and I'm setting the world on that pillar. Because there's only one way. You see, if the pillar falters with the gospel, the world collapses. Can I say, if the pillar falters in winning souls for Christ, the world collapses. Folks, I'm here to tell you, Dr. Smith will vouch for this. He travels all over the place. Soul winning is about becoming an extinct in a lot of independent, I'm talking about independent Baptist churches. Hey, it's fixing to go on the endangered list. Because there ain't many people participating in it anymore. And listen, folks, when we set aside door-to-door, person-to-person, soul-winning, the pillar is about to falter and the world's going to collapse. How are we supposed to reach them? Well, preacher, let's just pass a few documents out. Let's just put a website out. They'll come. Is that right? No. I don't find anywhere in the Scripture where God says put a web page out and they'll come. But I do know that he says go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're to go door to door. Listen, that early church, those disciples that Jesus put the world upon their back and in their hands and they turned the world upside down. You know how they did it? Door to door, daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Why? They had the world upon them. God had set the responsibility of evangelizing the world. And if the pillar falters in preaching, if the pillar falters in winning souls, if the pillar falters on the truth of the Word of God, amen. You know, most people are confused today. And you know who's confusing them? The religious crowd. It's not the lost people confusing them on what the Bible is. It's the religious crowd confusing everybody. It's the religious crowd that's griping and fighting and bickering over what the Word of God is. Hey, folks, I've got it in my hand in the King James Bible. I've got it right here for us in the English language. I'm here to tell you that when the pillar begins to falter on the truth and people are confused, the world collapses because they know not that they even have the Word of God in their hand. And if the pillar falters on holiness and separation and consecration to God, let me tell you something, the world is going to collapse because they will see no difference between the church and the world. Why would they even want to come if they see no difference between what goes on in the world and what goes on in the church? I just said, first of all, if the pillar falters, the world collapses. And if the church relegates itself to nothing more than a place to fellowship and socialize, then the support of the world is in jeopardy. The pillar is in jeopardy. And if the pillar falls, the world collapses with it. Here's the second observation. The world depends on the support and strength of the pillar. The world depends on the support and strength of the pillar. You know, I'm going to say probably 9 out of 10 mission dollars that are sent around the world come from the United States of America. Now, folks, let me tell you something. The thing about it is, that's a lot. That means the rest of the world that's giving toward missions aren't giving a whole lot. Now, what I'm saying to you is that responsibility is given to us because the greatest country on planet Earth right now is America. And God says, I'm placing the world upon you. I'm placing the responsibility of evangelizing the world upon the pillars that I've created and established. You see, the world depends on the support and strength of the pillar. May I say to you, first of all, church, that the world depends on the financial support of the pillar. Y'all want to see Brother Nikolai get to Russia? Yeah, we want to see him get to Russia. All right, we're going to have to help him get there financially then. Now, folks, all I'm saying to you is, you know what, the amazing thing is when it comes down to giving, you realize we support 252 missionary projects that are depending upon you and I to give toward world missions? But isn't it amazing how that when economic crunch time comes, it doesn't seem to bother some to just go ahead and cut their missions out. And you got people like Brother Nikolai, you got people like Brother and Mrs. Leslie that are on the other side of the world. What can they do about it? What can they do about it? They can't do anything about it. So what I'm saying to you, folks, listen. When it comes down to our commitment to our missions giving, and we made a commitment this February, or this February. We got another one coming up this coming February in our missions conference. Let me tell you something. I'm standing before God Almighty tonight and tell you, before I went back on my missions commitment, I'd go without groceries. I'd ride a bicycle before I went back on my missions commitment. Why? You know what? Because there's missionaries, and Brother Dale, there's missionaries in Ethiopia that are depending upon me giving. Why? Because the world has been placed upon the pillar. And if the pillar falters, the world collapses. The world is depending upon the support and strength of the pillar, the financial support. May I say, it's also depending upon the strength through prayer. You know, I have talked to missionaries, gajillions of missionaries. Now, I don't know how many that is, but that's a lot. And you know what, Brother Nikolai, Brother Leslie, Brother Downs, I have heard them tell me over and over again, what I need more than I need financial support is prayer. If I've heard them say it once, I've heard them say it 100 times. Pray for us. Why do you think they spend the money, church, for prayer cards? Why do you think they give them out and say, pray for us? Why do you think I encourage you at your home to have a missions prayer board so that you can pray for them? They depend on the strength of prayer, of the pillar. And if the pillar falters, the world collapses, because the world depends on the support and strength of the pillar. Can I say also that the world depends on the support and strength, the financial support to send missionaries, the strength of prayer to pray for our missionaries, and may I say also that missionaries depend on the encouragement of the saints. Ask any of these three missionaries here tonight if they want to hear from you when they get to the field. Ask them. They want to hear from you every day if they can. And I promise you, it'll take them about that long to give them an email address. Why? They want to stay in contact. They want to be encouraging. And they want to be encouraged as well. So I said, observation number two, the world depends on the support and strength of the pillar. Here's the last thing real quick. And that is, listen, if the world collapses, it falls to pieces. If the pillar falters, the world collapses. If the world depends on the support and strength of the pillar, and if the world collapses, it falls into pieces. And guess what? When it falls into pieces, you know who comes and scours up the pieces? First of all, the devil scours them up. Why? Because he's a scavenger. And if we're not going to do our job, and if we're not going to pray, we're not going to financially support missions, and we're not going to do those things that God has commanded us to do, then the world's going to collapse, it's going to fall into pieces, and Satan's going to get his piece. Can I say to you, number two, the cults are going to get their piece. Brother Nick, I was telling him at supper tonight about all the cults. He said if the independent Baptists would have taken advantage when the Iron Curtain fell, he said it could have evangelized Russia. He said, you know who the main people were there? He said he even learned how to speak English in a Mormon school. The Mormons were there immediately. The JWs were there immediately. The cults of the world were there. Listen, they ain't even swept the streets. They were there. Where were we? Well, Lord, let me pray about whether I want to go or not. You know what? I don't think Brother Garner, the Mormons, even prayed about it. I don't think the JWs even prayed about it. I don't think any of the cults prayed about it. You know what? They said, man alive, this is an opportunity. And you know what? They just went. No, we got to pray about it. What do we have to pray about? God said, I've taken the world and I've set it on the pillar. The world is in your hands. Satan's going to get his peace. Cults are going to get their peace. And they're going to say, then whatever's left over, then the flesh is going to get his peace. That's the reason, Brother Nikolai, there's so many atheists and agnostics. Why? The flesh is going to get its. Satan's going to get his. The cults are going to get theirs. Listen, they won't if the pillar doesn't falter. Because Hannah said, the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. And he sets the world upon them. And then Paul told Timothy, he said, it's the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I'm just telling you tonight, church, we have a responsibility. You know what that responsibility is? We have the whole world in our hands. Would you bow your heads tonight? Father, we ask now that you would bless our time. Thank you for the missions presentation and for what we have experienced tonight. We thank you, Lord God, that we have the privilege to be able to support missionaries literally around the world. But Father, there are more missionaries to support. There are more countries to reach. Russia needs the gospel. Croatia needs the gospel. Ethiopia needs the gospel. There are countries all over the world that need the gospel. And I pray, Lord God, that we would be faithful to give our missions and support these dear people financially. Support them in prayer. Support them by encouragement. Lord, my heart's been stirred tonight. And I pray that you do your work now in our congregation. And we give all the glory and praise to Jesus. For it's in his name we pray these things tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one's looking around.